we welcome those on podcast. Thank you, Pastor Don, for the message last week. Great message. A lot of word. Don't you love the word? I want to tell you, the people that come to New Beginnings don't come for a gospel snack. Okay? Some churches do. I'm not throwing stones at that. I'm saying what God's called us to. We don't have to be just like each other. But the people that come here and the people that listen on podcasts, they're not tuning in or coming here because they want a gospel snack. Okay? They're coming for a buffet and a word. And I want to tell you, people that love the word are hungry and desire the word. And I want to tell you, those are the people whose lives are being transformed because the word of God transforms our life. You're not going to be transformed with just a minute or two devotional, or you're not going to be transformed with a gospel snack. We have got to reprogram this computer. And the only way you reprogram this computer is not by a snack, okay? It's by feasting on His Word. His Word transforms and renews our mind. I'm so blessed. I get back from North Carolina. My wife's developed a different routine where she's having a time with the Lord, her quiet time. And I love to see her in the Word. Really turns me on. I'm telling you. I love a woman in the Word. She's in the Word. I love to hear her pray. Makes me cry. I'm telling you something. She's eating up the Word. And the hardest thing about the quiet time, because she warned me, is for it to be quiet. I want to talk to her. What's she saying to you? What'd you hear? I want to see the scripture. I'm practicing being quiet till I see that she's finished, and then I'm all up it, you know. Okay, we all have our challenges. I love her. Listen, don't you know heaven smiles when you're eating up the word? Don't you know hell is scared when you're eating up the word? Okay? Now, I just got back from a grandkid trip and a ministry trip, North Carolina. I got back, I was tarred. You folk here know what that means. I was really, really tired. When you're tarred, you're really, really tired. And, I had to just call a timeout and take a little break there for a day. Kind of rest and recover. And, that's a very spiritual thing to do. We see it in Scripture. The disciples had gone out, and this is in Mark 6. You can see it in your notes. In Mark 6, and verse 32 is where we're going to pick up. But the disciples had just finished one of their ministry tours. And you know what? You find this in the Gospels with Jesus, is that after a time of ministry, He would go away by Himself. Are you listening to this? He would go away by Himself, and He would spend hours or a night with Father. He would spend hours in fellowship with Father. Wouldn't you like to have that videoed? Wouldn't you like to have that recorded? What do you think that went like? I think it probably went something like this. Father, I know you saw Peter today. Isn't he a mess? We love him, don't we, Father? Lord, what are we going to say tomorrow to help him catch it? And what about these disciples, Lord? How are we going to love on them and teach them how to love on others and represent our heart and confess our word? How are we going to get them to have not just the understanding but the wisdom to operate with it? And Father, I love you. And I thank you that you're with me and we get to walk together while I'm on this earth. And I thank you that tomorrow, what do you want tomorrow, Father? Oh, really? Oh, this will be so much fun. We're going to get to feed big crowds tomorrow. Oh, that'll be a blast. What? Oh, you want to give Peter a great harvest in his business? Oh, this will be exciting. I love that. What? We're going to take plain water and turn it into invigorating wine? Oh, Father, they've never tasted wine out of heaven. They're going to be so blessed. This will be fun. We love to love on people, don't we, Father? Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, I believe, this is Tim talk, and I'm sharing with you because you've heard me teach it, that the 90% of our prayer life needs to be love life with the Lord. I'm telling you, when you're exchanging, I'm not just talking love to Him, But being still and quiet and letting Him love on you. I want to tell you, a whole lot comes into focus when you practice fellowshipping with Jesus. When you're spending much time in the Word, renewing your mind, you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we get changed. And I want to tell you, there's so much that you see that comes into the picture. So much of the puzzle pieces begin to fit together when you practice fellowshipping with the Lord and saturating in His Word. And that's something that all of us can do. You've got a teacher right on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, and He'll show you how to do it. Just I double dog dare you to tell the Lord, I want to know you better. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to be in your Word. Holy Spirit, show me how to get to know Jesus better. It's on. Because He wants this more than you do. Now, so you see what happens after their ministry tour, verse 32. And they went away in a boat to a solitary place by themselves. This was a pattern. This was a pattern of Jesus. It was His custom to do this. And so He would at times take the disciples with Him. And sometimes we got to come apart lest we come apart. That's a good saying. But anyway, I have pastors tell me, a lot of times, especially when I was traveling more, I would get off a plane or arrive at a place and a pastor would tell me, brother, this is one of the hardest places in the world to minister. That was one of the most common things. I grew to expect it. I already had answers by the time I'd done this for a while. And I'd say, well, I'm so glad that the Lord's not limited by the limitations of geography or culture or economics. And boy, after I got talking about that and giving testimonies of how I'd seen the Lord move in places, like, for example, out in a country church that's so far out in the sticks that you have to have a hound dog to help you find it. But I'm telling you, move of God take place out there, and the people hungry for the Lord, hungry for the Word, and loving on Jesus and loving on each other. I'm telling you, people come out of the sticks, they come out of the creeks and the sticks, and they show up to meet with the Lord. Or churches that's in a downtown area, a low downtown area, a tough area, and you know what? People drive for miles to see Jesus. I'm telling you, they'll come to Jesus. When they won't come to a human personality, or when they won't come to an entertainment venue, they'll come to see Jesus. And so we have a part in this. And so it doesn't matter if, your mindset, don't let your mindset limit what God wants to do. Let's not be cursed with small-mindedness. Jesus has broke all the limitations. I want you to see that in this series. This is 2020 vision. When we see Jesus clearly, we'll see the kingdom obviously. 2020 vision. Let's see Jesus clearly because He's taken off all the limitations. The kingdom of God is greater and more powerful than anything this earth or human limitations can put on. God's bigger. Jesus broke He said, greater things shall you do. I'm telling you, He just laid it out. We have a supernatural norm type of life. We don't have to live the same type of life that other humans live. The very King of Kings Himself dwells in us. The Spirit of the living God, the fullness of God dwells in us in our spirit. And so I am telling you, when you stop and think about resurrection life, He says the power of the resurrection dwells in you. If you know Jesus is right here in your spirit, I look around here and I see all the believers here. I want you to know there's a lot of power in this place. And I want to tell you, where you show up, the fullness of God goes with you. That's a lot of fun. We're going to get into that this year because one of the themes this year with 2020 vision, seeing Jesus clearly, you see the kingdom obviously, is that no longer are we going to be spectators. This is the year we become participators. Because He's paid the price for you to enjoy the good and to share the power. Don't you dare think that it's just for pastors. No, it's not. These pastors are doing all they can do. I'm not putting anything on them. except what I'm already putting on. But the deal is that we are participators. Hey, God didn't call you to be a spectator. And I want to tell you, this is going to be very, very exciting because Jesus draws people. That's why that when you go to invite people to church, you brag on Jesus. Don't you dare brag on a pastor. If you brag on a pastor, they're going to come and say that Pastor Don's too tall. They're going to say Pastor James too skinny. Pastor Tim's too fat. Pastor Justin's too strong. Pastor Tony's too cute. You know, there's you know, if you point to a human, they're going to find something wrong. You point to Jesus. You go tell them what Jesus is doing in your life and what you see Jesus do at church, because they'll come see Jesus. They'll come to hear Jesus. What does Jesus say to you today? That's what you go say. What did Jesus do? What did you see Jesus do? That's what you go say. Jesus draws people. Our part is to declare his works. Look at verse 33. So they were going to spend some time alone, and people saw them going and recognized them. Yeah, yeah, that's the Jesus team. That's the J team right there. And so they ran on foot from all the surrounding towns. Word gets out. You say, Brother Tim, we don't even have a sign right now. No, we don't. We sowed one. We're going to have a sign. But I want to make an announcement to you. There were a lot of years that churches didn't have signs. They found where the saints were meeting and where Jesus was operating by word of mouth. And I'm here to announce to you, yes, we got all the media. Yes, I need a media minister. Yes, I do. But I'm here to tell you that we have word of mouth. And that's the most powerful influence that can be, is with word of mouth. And all of us can do that. And so the people recognized them. And from all the surrounding towns, from all over the Metroplex, even from Abilene, Texas, people would get there to hear and see Jesus. Ahead of the boat, from all the cities. You know what they'll say to you? You get to talking about Jesus. They'll say, they'll be hanging out by your house on Sunday morning to see what direction you're going. I'm going to go where she goes. I'm going to go where he goes. I'm going to follow them to church. And they figure out where you're going to get, and then they'll pass you up to get here to beat you for a parking place. No, hey, do you see this here? You say, well, Jesus did that there. He had that effect then, but he can't have that effect in 2020. Don't even whisper that. That's something the enemy would say. No limitations. No restrictions. The kingdom's available. It's here. And Jesus landed. You see, what's your expectation? I want to tell you, when you come to church, don't be thinking about, well, I know that they're going to do this, this, and this, and then this. No, no, no. You come with that this expectation. I wonder what the Lord's going to do with people today. I'm excited to see how Jesus is going to make himself known today. I'm excited to hear what Jesus is going to say to my heart and to other hearts today. I'm coming expecting Jesus. Now, if you come expecting Jesus, you're not going to leave disappointed. Okay? So expectation is important here. And so come expecting Jesus. You're going to see what you're looking for. And so where's your focus on this? From all these cities. And Jesus landed, he saw a great crowd waiting, and he was moved with compassion for them. I want to tell you, Jesus has compassion for you. I want to announce something. The people that you're inviting to church, Jesus has compassion for them. You say, Brother Tim, they're in a mess. That doesn't scare us. I want to tell you, it doesn't scare Jesus. Okay? Jesus takes our mess. He heals, he restores, he renews, he saves, and turns our mess into a message. That's what Jesus can do. We just talked about that earlier today. I'm telling you, Jesus is doing that here. We see it and know it. He saw a great crowd waiting and moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He wants to be their shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to teach you many things. And you know what? We need them all, don't we, Pastor? We need them all. He's already moved with love and compassion. Don't think you have to earn it. That's why he even came to earth. Because he came because, hey, heaven's moved with love and compassion for you. He came because Father so loved the world. Jesus came. And so he's already on your side. He's moved with compassion for you. And he wants to teach us many things. And we need them all. Now look, there is a level of head knowledge that we need. We need a level of head knowledge. But we want to get head knowledge in you to a level so that you can receive revelation knowledge. You see, you got to have some logos in you, but what Jesus really wants to do is to give you rhema. That's revelation knowledge. It's seeing Jesus in the Word that transforms you. It's seeing Jesus in His works and in His Word that changes you. It's revelation knowledge. And when you're looking at the Word and the Holy Spirit highlights and shows you Jesus, He shows you Himself, yourself, and He shows you what God's doing and wants to do, that's revelation knowledge. Wow, now that's life-changing. When the day was already far gone, so Jesus was teaching a long time. Would you get this? Right. I'm telling you, we don't have to give our watches and cell phones up at the door, but we need to have a mindset. Jesus was teaching a long time. And so it's a very scriptural thing to do. I have found this. Look at this. And when the day was already far gone, now look, they didn't have their cell phones or watches, but they see the sun going down and setting low. His disciples came to him and said, "Hey, Master, this is a desolate and isolated place." Now, a lot of people feel like they're in a desolate and isolated place. No, you're not. Hey, this is proof. This story is proof. You're never too far and it's never too late. Boy, that ought to be written down somewhere. This is what God wants to do in you. It's never too far and never too late. You're not too desolate. You're not too isolated. Somebody say amen. So the evening, the day's ending, and Jesus had taught for hours. "Master, your words are life, but you're very long-winded." He didn't apologize for that. I'm just trying to let this sink in a little bit. Maybe you have a lot more to be thankful for when you get out on time. I'm just saying, no restraints. It's scriptural. Now, they did provide lunch. Okay, we'll work on that part. 36 goes like this. This was the disciples' human thinking. This was the best they come up with in verse 36. "Send the crowds away to go into the country and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat. That's the best we can do." In other words, that's when a church person, a person from church, looks at somebody in need and they say, "We can't help you." Now I want to tell you, be careful what you say. God's not called us to help every person that shows up. Some of them have impure motives and that kind of stuff. But I'm here to tell you, be careful the way you defer things. I had a man get so mad at me one time many years ago. And on Sunday, he showed up and he already had a mat on. And he told me, he said, "Preacher, I came by here and there was a homeless person out here. And I couldn't find anybody in the office. The church was locked up. There was nobody here to help him." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "Well, I had to go to the store and get him something to eat and feed him. I had to do that myself. And then he needed a ride, so I gave him a ride and everything." And I want to tell you, he said, "We need to be more on the ball than that." He said, "The church needs to do something." I said, "The church did." He was so mad he didn't say anything. We're the church. Okay? Be careful how you respond to people. Okay? Hey. These were the best thoughts they had. These are the best possible answers on a human level. Do not dare limit God's work to a human level. Father's favor is better than human effort. As a matter of fact, in John 6, telling this story, I think it's John 6:6, I think, but it's there. The Bible says that Jesus already knew what he's going to do. And so he's asking them questions now. And Jesus will ask questions, and we see it in Scripture, but he'll ask questions to stir our conscience, to see where our heart is. And he replied to them, "Well, you give them something to eat." And they said to him, well, what do you expect us to do? Are we to go to a nearby village and all we got is $40? And $40 is not going to feed thousands and thousands of people. There were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And so $40 worth of bread is not going to feed this bunch. We don't have enough. So the real question is, and I want to just announce this to you, because this is natural for humans. Humans depend on mammon. Their first response is mammon. But that's not to be a believer's first response.
That's right.
You see? Wait. Who are you really depending on? Are you depending on the master? Are you depending on mammon? You know, money. Because I want to tell you, our response should be different. Because who are we trusting? We're not trusting in mammon. We're trusting in the master. But I want to tell you, a lot of believers operate just like humans of the world. The first response is mammon. How much is it going to cost? Okay, I traveled a long way one time to minister to a place, and one of the leadership came up to me before the meeting ever got started, and he said, I want to know something right now. Just how much are you going to cost this church being here? I said, absolutely nothing. Now, up to that time, I was kind of hoping for a love offering. But when he said that, it sealed it with me. I said, absolutely nothing. I said, I'm here because I love Jesus and I love people. Well, he got quiet too. But the deal is that what is our first dependence? What is our first go-to? Just like a believer, you know, it's getting a little quiet in here. But let me just say, it's just like a believer when you're not feeling too good. What's your first response? Aspirin or prayer? Well, the world's going to reach for aspirin. And you know, I'm not against aspirin. I'm not against money. Jesus is not either. But who's our first priority? Who's first in our heart? Who's our first response? See, it's where are you looking? Where are you trusting? And so Jesus told them, you meet the need. They said, we don't have enough money. But listen, what they were missing is who he is. You see, our part is to remember who he is. And he is more than enough. Would you say he's more than enough? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? See, he will work. It will set up questions. Because he was teaching them a living lesson, a ministry lesson, how the kingdom works. He was making a memory, and out of a memory of his goodness and his provision is a memorial. And a memorial is a sign of remembrance. Okay? It's a monument for remembrance. They used to do this in the Old Testament. Whenever God would do a miracle, do something great, they would build a memorial, a monument of stones, and for generations, as they'd be traveling by, the little ones would recognize, oh yeah, there's a story there. Hey, Dad, what happened there? Oh, that's when God did this. And he would go in detail explaining the works of God and the words of God and what God did. You see? There's power in that. Okay, stay with me on that thought. What do you have? Well, all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I want you to be careful here. I want you to see this, because the seed was insignificant to them. Wait. The source of the seed was insignificant to them. But listen. It's never insignificant to Jesus. Boy, there's some stuff there. So, If what you have is too little for harvest, surrender it to Jesus as seed.
Amen.
5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's not enough. But when we sow seed to him by faith, will someone say by faith? You see, that's saying yes to God, submission to God, and agreement with God. We reap harvest. That's what God put in. That's the way God works. See, he's asking a question today. Hey, what you got? Hey, look here. You may consider what you have as insignificant. You may consider you as a source as insignificant. God does not. See, he's asking a question right now. Hey, what's in your hand? What you got? It's too little. No, no, no. You remember he asked Moses the same question? He's having an encounter. Moses is having an encounter with God. God's telling him, this is the time. I've put this in your heart. Since you were little, we're going to go rescue the people. Moses saying, I can't do that. I know the Egyptian army, and we can't do this. And God said, what's in your hand? He said, it's my rod. And I want to tell you, it was just a stick. Can I say to you, it was just a stick? I mean, you could get the DNA out of that stick and compare it to any other stick in the world, and it's just a stick. All right, but listen, it may seem insignificant to man, but what God told him to do was to throw it down. In other words, he was to surrender it and submit it to God. And I want to announce something to you. After that point, it was never, ever referred to as the rod of Moses. Hey, Pastor, I'm telling you, it was called the rod of God. And so I'm announcing to you that you take what you have and you surrender and submit it to God, and it becomes God's and not yours. I could just park there. How about the little widow? Do you remember the little widow with the prophet? The prophet said, God sent me here, feed me. She said, all I got is a little flour, a little oil, and we're going to go make a pancake and we're going to die. He said, serve first. And she was to surrender a portion of that to the Lord. To give to him as giving and surrendering to the Lord. Now let me tell you something. He announced, and it happened, that little flour, that little oil, will never go without until the rains come back. Years. Years. Insignificant. But what she had, she surrendered to God. And do you want to guess how many meals came out of that little pot and that little oil? And I don't think it showed up as a storehouse. Now, don't run there. No, no, no. I believe it was daily bread. I believe that every time it came time for a meal, if she reached it there to get it, there was more than enough. Every time it was more than enough, because this is the way God operates. He takes off the limitations. Wow. You see, that doesn't make human sense. And so then he commanded the people all to recline on the green grass by companies. And so they threw themselves down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And this is the way the Bible describes it. They were in such arrangements, because we're talking about thousands of people. Possibly up to 15,000 to 20,000 people. And they were in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And the way the Amplified brings it out, when you look down on it from the mountain, it looked like a garden of herb plants. And they were all sectioned out. And so, this is very important. You know, this took some time. This took some effort. This took some planning. And I want to tell you, this is what it's about. Jesus commanded them to prepare to receive. Prepare to receive. And so I'm telling you, it took time and effort, but you know what? They were sectioned out. I want to tell you, it's okay. It's an expression of yes to God for you to prepare and get your life in order, get your heart in order, get whatever arrangements need to be made for what you're believing to receive before it gets here. Yeah, there you go. And so I'm telling you, this is what happened. It's an expression of faith to get ready. I'm announcing to you, get ready to receive. That's God's heart. If we're operating with yes to God, we'll get ready to receive what we're believing for. Back in the 80s, when I was preaching up in the Ozark Mountains, there was a story that came out of that area. I never met the people, but this is the story that was told. That there was a little woman about 30 years old, and she was not married, and she was believing God for a husband, but she didn't just want any man. She was believing God for a man that would love him and love her. A godly man. And so as she was praying and dedicating this to the Lord, submitting this to the Lord, and a picture of expression of faith came, and the Lord, the expression of faith was like this. She went to the store and bought a pair of man's pants and a man's shirt. And she laid them out on the bed. And in her prayer, she declared every night, Lord, I wish I could remember the prayer because it had a little rhyme to it. I can't remember that part. But it went something like, Lord, I'm trusting you. I love you. And I'm trusting you for a man that loves you and loves me. And Lord, I believe you're going to fill these pants with a godly man. And I want to tell you, it was about a year went by. But God did. You see, she was depending and waiting on the Lord. And the Lord did provide. And she got married, and they went on a honeymoon and came back. And the pastor, knowing the story, asked her to give her testimony. And so that particular day, a beautiful part of this, on the wedding day, she gave her husband that shirt and those pants. And when they come back from the honeymoon, on the day of testimony, he was wearing that shirt and those pants. And so she gave the testimony about this, and the church rejoiced. But a very important part of our faith is the preparation to receive. Do we really believe it? Now, there's another funny part of this story I'm going to take time to tell, and I don't have much time left, but it's good for me. Is that there was a little family there, and the daughter was sick. The mama stayed home with the daughter, and the son and the dad was at church, heard the sermon. They went home. That Sunday night after supper, the mom's doing kind of the room check, and she comes along and kind of peeks in the room of the teenage boy, and she sees him down on his knees praying on the bed. And then she gets startled because she sees her bikini on the bed. And she goes in there and tells her husband, you have got to go talk to your son. Something's wrong in there. And he said, what is it? She said, he's down on his bed praying, but there's a bikini on the bed. He laughed and said, it's just an expression of faith. And it's a good thing. Is it a good thing to give an expression of faith? Get ready to receive. Harvest preparation, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up into heaven, praising God, and gave thanks, and broke the loaves, broke the bread. I can't help but think that every time he broke the bread, he knew, my body's going to be broken for many to be blessed. Look here, look here. He broke these loaves and gave thanks and blessed many. His body was broken. The bread to bless many. I love them. Don't you love them? And he broke the loaves and kept on giving to the disciples. It was a continual flow. Let me make an announcement here. These were fish tacos or fish sandwiches that come right out of heaven. They had never tasted anything better. It's the only way it can be explained. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's a far reach. Really? Where did manna come from? Okay, bread right out of heaven. They had never tasted better. The fish, they had never tasted better. Jesus kept giving. They kept receiving. Boy, that's a scriptural principle. And they divided it all up. Now look, I love what he said. I love what happened here because he says, look up. Now I've been wanting to preach on this for about a year, but I haven't had time yet. If one of these other pastors preach on it before I do, go for it. But there's a message in look up. Psalm 121. Says we're to look up from where our source of help comes from. Jesus was healing a blind man, and he told him, he said, look up. Look up. Look at me. Look up. And the blind man was healed. And right here, we see Jesus looking up and honoring the Father. Now, he already knew what Father wanted to do, but he gave thanks before the multiplication of the meal showed up. Isn't that important? Now, I want to tell you, later on, as a matter of fact, I think it's John 6:23, later on, when the disciples were referring or would come by this area, they would refer to this as the place where Jesus gave thanks and multiplied the bread. Giving thanks was a big part of this memory, this remembrance, this memorial to them, that Jesus gave thanks before the blessing, the miracle arrived. Where are we at on that? Because this is kingdom way. All right? Give thanks before the miracle arrives. I'm telling you, it's important. And so, he recognized Father. He is the I Am. Everybody say, Father's the I Am. And He has provided. He said yes. Jesus has said yes to His promises for our yes. You understand that? He has already said yes and amen to the promises that He's put in the Bible for you. Our part is to say yes to His yes. This is what kingdom is about. I don't even have my big sword up here. Let me borrow your sword for a second. That's all right. I take the pretty flower one. You see, I'm going to tell you Christian life. Christian life is this, is that we're to look in this glass, this mirror, and we're to see what God says about us. See, Holy Spirit, show us. We're looking here and see what God says about us. And then our part is to believe and receive, to discover what He says, and then discover receiving it. Our part's to receive it. And we do that by faith. We do that by meditating on the Word, reprogramming our computer, renewing our mind. And we discover what He says, and we discover how to receive it. That's Christian life. That's our life. We discover it, and we discover what He says, and we discover how to receive it. That's what God wants for us. I hope I'm not making that so simple that you dismiss it. But He says all spiritual blessings are ours. So we look in here and see what those spiritual blessings are. He reveals them to us, and then He shows us how to receive them. And we practice receiving and applying. And the 42 says they all ate and were satisfied. They ate and were filled. Nobody left hungry. And so I'm telling you, it pleases God for us to enjoy Him to the most. No guilt, no condemnation to enjoy His blessing. Don't ever apologize for the blessing of God. You say, well, Brother Tim, He's blessed me so much, and Sister so-and-so over here is not blessed like that. Hey, you know what? Don't apologize for blessing. What Bible says about blessing, He wants us to enjoy it. This pleases Him for us to enjoy blessing, and we're also to declare His blessing. We're to brag on Jesus. Don't brag on you. You're not the source of blessing. Brag on Jesus. Testify and declare His works. And they took up 12 small hand baskets full of broken pieces from the loaves and the fish. And this was this is something. I'll tell you, this verse years ago, I'm telling you, even decades ago, when I was meditating on this and preaching off of this, I would ask a question. I wrote it down. I said, God, what's the baskets for? They don't really add up. What's the scraps for? What are leftovers for? Now, I know I like leftovers. You could probably look at me and figure it out. We go out to eat. Beautiful blonde doesn't finish her meal. I've been practicing. I finish mine. She doesn't finish hers. I know on the way home, that's my breakfast tomorrow morning. Because she don't like leftovers. You go out to eat with Pastor Don? I love him, don't you? See, I get to pick at the pastors. I love it. You best be eyeballing your own plate because he's looking at it. Am I right, brother? He'll say, you going to finish that? You going to take that home, are you? I love them, don't you? But most, I want to tell you, that's not what the answer is here. Now, we're talking about Jesus who can make something out of nothing. Yeah. And we're each going to get a little backpack here because that's what it was. It was just kind of a little a reed basket. And they had a strap where it slipped over their shoulders. And it was about the size of a small backpack. And, you know, it held about 2 gallons of food. And they would use this when they were traveling so that they wouldn't have to eat Gentile food if they got in a tight. But I'm telling you, Sometimes Jesus even told them on their ministry trips, don't take anything with you. And so I'm telling you, the key here is not leftovers for a snack later. There was something else there. And I'm telling you what I believe it is. It's for a monument of His glory. It's a remembrance. It's a monument to remember Him. See, a monument is keeps a memory of remembrance alive. And so I think that each personal little backpack here, Miss Gina, it is a testimony of God's overwhelming goodness, that He's the God of the I am. He is the I am too much. That's our God. He is I am everything you need, and He's the I am too much. 12 baskets, one for each, overflow. Why? It's a memorial. A monument of remembrance, something that keeps the remembrance alive. Because Jesus is teaching them, when you remember His works and you meditate on Him in His works, in those testimonies, in what God's done in your past, it sets the stage for what God's going to do in the present and what God's going to do in the future. It may be a different situation by a different name, but it's the same God, and He's the God of the too much. He loves to love too much. It doesn't matter what it is. Plain water into wine. Best they had ever tasted. Come right out of heaven. Peter, in such a trouble financially, fished all night. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing to bring home to mama. No paycheck. And Jesus steps on his boat, provides a miracle. Set it down right here. Peter, I'm the fisherman. You the preacher. This ain't the place or the time. Too shallow. They're not here. Net over the boat. Said nets. Net went over the boat. And it was so filled up that the net was tearing. Had to call his buddies. And they pulling it up on the boat. And then the boat starts to sinking. And I want to tell you, normally when they would go fishing, they would have to separate the trash fish back into the water to the good fish that could go to market. On that particular day, I'm announcing to you there was no trash fish. God doesn't give trash. I want to tell you what happened that day. It was the biggest, most beautiful, higher quality fish they had ever seen in their life. And it was the biggest and greatest catch ever in their life, because it was fish right out of heaven. And I want to tell you, it brought greater price at market than ever they had ever seen. God stepped right into his business and gave overflow. He's the God of the overflow. He's trying to show them that he's the God of the overflow. So when it came time for another need, they said, how much money do we have? We don't have enough money. No, no. When they're sitting right there with the source of all kingdom supply. Oh, this is what God wants for us. What he wants with us is to remember him. The answer for your present situation and your future is the revelation of Jesus. What he's done in the past, he'll do in the present, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're to declare and meditate on his works. It reveals who he is. I've tried to share this for decades, shared it with teenagers. They get it. You ought to get it. But it goes like this. When we meditate on God and his word, and we meditate on God and his works, the Holy Spirit shows us who he is. And who he is the answer for what we need today, for what we need tomorrow. He's the answer of what we need the rest of our life. But we're to remember. This is why we're to have a book of remembrance, where we detail all the works of God. You know why? Because humans forget. I'm telling you, this is important. What God's done before, he'll do it again. He may not use the same method. Would you please understand this? Because humans and believers tend to want to depend on the methods. I want to tell you, he throws that right out the window. If you're trusting in a method, you're not trusting in him. You see, you're working too much of you in it. If I do this and this and this and say this and this and this, I say these exact words in this prayer, then he'll do this. if I pray this long, he'll do this. If I fast, he'll do this. No, no, no. It's not by your works. It's not by methods. It's by him. And so this is why that in every situation we approach him afresh and we say, you're my supply. You're the great I am. You're the one I depend on. You're the one I trust in. And it's really time for me to wrap up. I got so much more. You know, there will be a part two to this. And next week, we go from the bread to the boat. You don't want to miss it. I'm so excited about it. Would you listen to me? Give me everything you got for 1.5 minutes. We, this year, for 2020 vision, to see Jesus clearly and see the kingdom obviously in our church, in our life, in our family, we got to recognize him as the I am. We need to practice remembering and giving thanks for his works. Memorial remembrance. Jesus has done it before. He'll do it again. Remember his words. If you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to speak to this problem, this mulberry tree problem with deep roots that you don't know what to do with. You'll be able to speak to it with a mustard seed faith. You'll be able to speak to it and it'll be taken up by its roots and it'll be cast into the sea. Meditate on him and his words. Meditate on him and his works, and we'll see him as he is. And we need to have a response of faith. What are you believing God for? Now don't roll up here with something a human can do. Mm-mm. No. Limitations are taken down. No limitations with Christ. We get to live a supernatural norm because of who he is. Not because of us, because of who he is. Our part's just to believe. Isn't that amazing? So what are you believing God for that's too big for you? You see, that's what heaven's listening for. I want to tell you, let's agree together for all the seats to be filled. Let's agree together for there to be waves in the baptistry. Regular basis, come on. Amen. Let's believe God to put the beautiful blonde on salary. Put some of these pastors on salary. Let's believe God to, come on. Let's turn loose in the neighborhood. Let's believe God for his best, for his biggest. Let's let this be the biggest and greatest year ever, not because of us, but because we had faith to say yes to him. Now, the final thing I'm saying to you that you need to hear God about, what do we do as an expression of faith to prepare for the harvest? I'm not talking about works to make it happen. I'm talking about what's the expression of faith. It may be something different for all of us, but I'm telling you, it's something that the Holy Spirit will spark into your spirit about something that you can do that'll be a contact of faith. I believe. You see, it's important. You're important for what God wants to do in this place this year, in your family this year, in you this year. We have a part. Our part's to say yes. Would you bow your head for prayer? Let's practice exercising faith. Now, Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you love to make your word real and alive and personal to us. Holy Spirit, come. Minister your amen to what you're saying in our lives. I declare in the name of Jesus that there will be hope rise up in your people that will be a picture of what you want to do, of what you're going to do. And Lord, we just receive in the name of Jesus that hope, that those pictures of what you're doing and want to do. And Lord, we say yes to them by faith. And Lord, we receive from you how to give an expression of faith, how to say yes to your yes. And we give you praise today. And all the people said, amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. You love Jesus? Don't you love the Word? Aren't you excited about 2020? I want to tell you what a great year to be alive and to love Jesus and to be part of a family that's believing together. I love you. I'm excited about it, okay?